Up, we're live. Hello, guys. Hi. Welcome, everybody. Let's see. Yep. Wonderful. Give everybody a minute to get on board. The other folks that are joining us, hello. Welcome to another edition of the Lunchtime Chats. Hello, Carol. So good to see you, darling. And Laura, Beverly, Creating Momentum. Good to see you too again. All right. You guys, let me know that my sound is coming in okay. The picture is coming in okay. My counter says zero, so I don't know what that means. So if we just take a minute to check our systems to make sure it's all good. Awesome, the counter is showing. And Beverly, just let me know if the sound is good. And I will dive in to the things we're talking about today. Mm-hmm. Just need to bring up the email that I sent to myself. There we go. Guys, let me know the sound is coming through. Your sister Laura. Hi to all. Hi, Susan. Good to see you. We were just talking about you earlier, darling. You guys, let me know if the sound is okay. There might be a delay here with the comments. It's frozen. Okay. Mm-hmm. It says it's full signal. Oh, you can hear me. It's frozen, but you can hear me. Is that right? Go ahead and give me a sign if it's frozen. Other folks, if it's frozen for you too. If it is, I'll have to maybe go downstairs, get closer to the router. All right, Laura's saying it's fine. Okay, good. Not frozen for you. Awesome. Thank you, guys. All right, so let me dive in because I have all kinds of cool things to talk about with you guys. All right, for those of you who are new, new listening to the recording or coming in live, my name is Christina. I'm an acceleration expert, that is a consciousness acceleration expert, and we are here to talk about those topics and issues that are significant for us starseeds, wayshowers, and new paradigm visionaries. We have perceptions, we have abilities that are not embraced by a larger human family. Therefore, we have a very unique perspective to the kinds of things that are going on in this amazing, beautiful, chaotic, crazy world these days. So welcome. Thank you, Carol. Thank you, Laura. Thank you guys for following up with that. I appreciate you. All right. So those of you who are in the Academy know that I'm in on Kapala Lake, taking a live blood analysis training. And this is something that I was drawn to do because I wanted to validate the treatments that I've been playing with eradicating certain things happening with, that's the result of the Jibidi jab and the La Cucaracha dance. Right. So as I get deeper into the kinds of things that we're discovering in our training, I'm going to probably shut off the YouTube and just continue the live stream on Rumble. Just so you guys know, if I do cut that out, then, you know, just hop over to our channel on Rumble. That's Light Body Academy. And for those of you who have been searching for the chats on YouTube, just know that they're not there anymore because I talk about things. We're getting shadow banned. All this weird stuff is happening. So what we're doing is we're live streaming here through Rumble and YouTube, and then we're posting the actual chats on Rumble. And if you want to get a link to the full recording of the chats, you make sure you go to our website, get on our subscriber list, and you will get emailed the link tomorrow to access that. So, all right, how do I begin? Oh, where's my notes? Okay, so how do we begin? So everybody's going crazy about the eclipse, right? You guys feeling that? You guys feeling a little intrepidous about the eclipse or anything around what might happen? For those of us who've been around a while for several eclipses, we know that astrologically things don't happen like a whap. They're more about seeds get planted energetically into the fields. So I would say this particular eclipse is a wonderful time to plant seeds for your own subconscious, plant seeds for your own awakening, for your own empowerment. So the narratives that get propagated through social media, you know, I talk about this, it's all incepted. It's all to create drama, to create, you know, a perspective that creates emotional charge, all those things. So if you're getting going down one of those rabbit holes because of emotional charge, that's your moment to say, oh, wait a minute, I'm getting sucked into a narrative. It actually doesn't matter if it's true or not. It's the fact that you're getting sucked into it and you're putting energy to it and you're participating and silently agreeing to play the role that narrative propagates or that narrative is needing to be expressed. So that's where I want to start. I want to start with energies that have to get expressed. So we have our nesting dolls, right? Our nesting dolls of all these different realities that come together to create our here and now moment. And we have our incepted nesting dolls. And we have nesting dolls that were part of the original plan for the unfoldment of consciousness, right? So some people talk about the inception of these nesting dolls, make this a war between good and evil. Some people frame it up as a soul prison planet. And, you know, there's lots of variations of that in different directions. And just the other morning, I think it was yesterday morning, right, Sue, that we were talking about, what was, do you remember what the piece was? It was
solo?
No, it was, had to do with the jibbity jab and the agendas. Shoot, there was some kind of political thing going on, and it was a really intense one. Oh, yes, that all the people that involved in the conspiracy of the Lukukaracha jab or Lukukaracha dance and jibbity jab should be taken up on war crimes, and we need a military tribunal. And, you know, there's this whole thing going on. We're listening to a doctor whose information I love, but at the same time, very deeply invested in the, you know, hang them. They all need to hang for what they've done. Okay. So remember, it's not about if something is true or not. It's really about the roles that we play and what we silently agree to play. So this whole, the question that was posed to me was something around, what do we do about that? Because when we hear things, those things happening, we feel very disempowered. It's like, how can our voice be heard? How can we contribute to the solution? You know what I mean? It's kind of like, what can some little person like me do to against this great big machine that is the, you know, the whole PSYOP thing and the government and blah, 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 you know, medical mafia. And what I need to remind myself is that it's not about that. Oh, that was the other comment. Bill Gates may have expired out of his bio suit, right? And so part of us was like, yay. But then instantly it's like, oh, well, that just means someone else is going to take his place, right? Why? Because he is playing a role. His soul is playing a role that has to get expressed. And what we need to really dial in with our capacities is to get into why these roles exist. Why do they need to be expressed? And those are found in the outer nesting dolls. It's found in the Akashic realm and even the realms of what people refer to as the halls of Amenti. Right. All these are patterns. Maybe they're incepted. Maybe they're held artificially. It really doesn't matter. The fact is that they are a reality that is seeking expression in our here and now. So when you have a player like Bill Gates, you know, he's playing a role. And once he's taken out of the picture, that means that energy, because it still exists, has to get played by somebody. So there's going to be a new character or characters to play that role. Okay. And when we look at it that way, then we can start to see that the battle of good and evil or the imprisonment of this place is not, it's not what we think it is on the 3D level. It's like we expand past that and we realize, oh my gosh, we've all silently agreed, subconsciously, consciously, to play certain roles, right? So, yeah, guys, let that one sink in. Because we may play roles that means we express the light. We may play roles that means that we're going to have an expression of the dark. Is there more validation, more appreciation, more celebration being in the light, or in the dark? Right? What inside of you cheers? Like, yes, I can guarantee you. There's some part that has made sacrifices to play the light and definitely wants credit for that. Right? Okay. Let that settle in. So what I'm really realizing in the larger landscape of things is that the La Cucaracha dance had a lot more purposes than just what we see here, than just, you know, making people sick or the jibba jab agenda. It was much more than that. It was really to create battles inside of ourselves. So we create more agreements to fight, to divide, to make choices against ourselves. I know I'm kind of scattered, but it's all going to come together, I promise. You guys know how I roll. So you guys think about all the different divisions that happened during 2020 and the during the La Cucaracha dancing times. How many social groups fell apart? How many families fell apart? You know, all these different situations that were going towards something fell apart because of the disagreement. Of the narratives, right? But then on top of that, people started having to betray some of their most treasured values. People had to compromise for the sake of their family. People had to either, you know, just go inside and keep everything secret because they didn't want to be controversial. And then when the jibbity jabs started to come around in that narrative, people were coerced, extorted. Some people were full for it, but a lot of people weren't. And they ended up getting a lot of pressure put on them to make a decision that in their heart they didn't want to do, right? So what does that dynamic do? That creates a betrayal inside. That actually makes a fissure inside, doing something that you know is not right for you for the sake of something else outside yourself, okay? So that set the stage internally on a global level for more internal conflict, more internal war, okay? And energetically, what that did was we agreed silently and not silently to act against self. And that inflated this amazing grid that made it possible for the current wars that we're seeing now. It's because we're all dreaming this into being, guys. We are making these decisions out here in these other nesting dolls, and it impacts our here and now reality. So taking an act against yourself has many more ramifications than you just, you know, making a bad decision or regretting something. There's a ripple effect interdimensionally, and that's what these inceptions do. They take advantage of that ripple effect and start placing additional agendas that were not necessarily part of what your choice was, but because you're willing to make those choices against yourself, that allows these other agendas to happen. So you can imagine what kinds of things go on inside somebody when they make a decision they don't want. Like say with the whole, we have several star shines actually that were in nursing and stuff that took the jab. Well, some took the jab so they can keep their jobs, and some had to completely rebuild their lives going in a different direction. But the ones that did that to keep their job have this terrible guilt and shame built up inside and other kinds of things. They wish they didn't have to do it. They're angry at their employers. There's, you know what I mean? There's all these different thoughts and emotions that unfold because this thing was happening, you know, because they got forced to make this decision. And then you have a collective of people in that experience, right? And then that exponentially expands. So this whole dance is so much deeper than just if there's a virus or not, not just if the jabs are bad for you or not. It's really about holding humanity's consciousness in a war mentality with oneself so these larger battles can happen. And then you have the added narratives about CERN and what CERN's doing. Then you have the added narratives about the intensity of what the eclipse is doing. And then you have, you know what I mean? You have all these different layers of drama. And then people are like having reaction, right? And that's the perfect place for people to be, because then you can be controlled once you're in reaction mode. By the way, guys, if things seem a little different, it's because there's people with me, and there's normally never anybody with me when I do this. So it's like it's your guys' energy and then these guys' energy. So. Yeah, guys, let me know how this is landing for you. I might be leaving some holes in there and I'll fill them in. So just let me know how this is landing and if it makes sense. Because this is important for us to realize these other nesting dolls, how they interact. It's just not something, this abstract thing that's out there that maybe impacts us, maybe it doesn't. It absolutely impacts us. You know, our Akashic field absolutely impacts us. It is part of creating this reality and why we're here expressing ourselves. That's only one of the many nesting dolls that's happening. And then you have the whole narrative about the awakening of humanity. There's a lot of people talking about the star seeds and the 144,000 and the angelic humans, the earth angels, you know, all these different labels and narratives of beings here to help wake up humanity. And when you have a collective of beings that are not in the same frequency, maybe they're more expanded in how they operate, that impacts everybody. All right. Dear Lunaria, good to see you. Are you still in Mexico City, darling? I was a social worker at a hospital and one of the first to agree to it. But I had a spiritual awakening shortly after, and it was, I believe, a result of my soul not being happy with all the meds. Oh, okay. Yeah, so that's an interesting piece. That kind of goes into what I'm talking about with the arrival of the star seeds and the 144. You know, I don't know if I really like that particular narrative with the 144,000, but it's an idea that's out there that you know, is a thing. Oh yeah, you're still there. Cool. And then the earth angels and this kind of thing. So it's like we are encoded to wake up at a certain time, and we're here en masse, and which means we're making a lot of the collective fields, a lot of the collective grids null and void, because we have this frequency embodied that isn't a match to that. And because we naturally gravitate, the human form naturally gravitates towards what to resonate with, what the higher vibration around us is, whether people know us or not doesn't matter. The fact is we're holding a grid of consciousness that people naturally want to subconsciously or consciously resonate with. So this idea I've talked about before, when you're walking through the woods, your field will naturally start to gravitate towards the highest vibrating life form of the woods, which is usually an ancient tree of some sort. But there's other things. There's fairy portals. There's like different, you know, zones within the natural world that have an extremely high frequency that we just naturally want to go towards. It's the same with people, you know. So we're here en masse. We're rewriting a lot of these collective fields, and that's why these things are getting revealed. We're seeing all the different shenanigans behind the scenes that have been controlling our engagement with reality. Oh, interesting. So where am I at on time? Okay. I want to be careful on how many boxes I open, because I know I have to come full circle with them all. So let me talk a little bit about this live blood analysis. Talk about fields, right? If you guys let me know if you agree with this, I was of the thought that if you had a certain frequency, or if you lived in a certain bandwidth of frequency that was more expanded, or what people make higher frequency, more evolved. I mean, there's all kinds of labels you can use. You wouldn't be susceptible to the different technologies and shenanigans going on with the La Cucaracha and, of course, the Jibbity Jab. And you guys, when I was in Guatemala doing this, you guys realized that I had a rude awakening around that. So I've been on this journey, a healing journey. Things, I was kind of hit a plateau, things weren't really getting better, and actually things started getting worse. And then I come across this doctor in Guatemala that was like, hey, you know, and he introduced me to the Rife technology, and I did the graphene oxide detox, and then I started getting better. And I was like, wow, that is shocking. Let me step back a little bit. The COVID, oh, I said it, damn it. All right. You know what? the yeah, right. The sieve. before the lockdown, a week before that happened, I saw a client that flew in from Switzerland the day before or the week before, and it was right before Switzerland locked down or the borders were being closed from people coming from Switzerland. And I was working in an office where there was an IV clinic and acupuncturist and all this other stuff. So I see her, and I wake up a couple days later feeling really, really sick. And along with the sickness were thoughts, really negative thoughts, thoughts that just were not my natural way of thinking, you know. So I woke up feeling like I got hit by a truck, had all these negative thoughts going on in my mind. I'm like, this is really odd. This is not how I normally function. And as soon as I realized that, I just went into an inner smile practice, which I talk about a lot here, and everything switched. It was like the thoughts started going away. I was, you know, focusing on my rhythms and in the smile. The symptoms were going away. The symptoms went away along with the thought forms, the negative thought forms. So it's like I was over COVID in about 3 hours. And of course, the lockdown happens. And the only reason why I even concluded that it was COVID was because the entire office got sick. And because of the connections of the people with the IV place and the acupuncturist, they had a very close relationship with labs. And she did a blood test to confirm the antibodies. And so she's like, yep, I absolutely had COVID. And since we all got sick within 24 hours after that client came in to visit, we all were like, okay, I guess that's what COVID looks like, right? So fast forward to doing the graphene oxide detox when I'm in Guatemala City, I wake up with the same thing. I do a 15-minute, just graphene oxide. It wasn't even the other kinds of protocols. I did a 15-minute loop with that, and the next day I'm waking up with COVID symptoms. And I was like, whoa. I mean, I felt bad, like the really intense migraine headache, and it's like I wanted to cry. I mean, it's just all of that stuff. Again, it took me a minute to realize it, and I did the inner smile, and of course the symptoms go away again. So there's a consciousness piece to this CV shenanigans, right? It's so this is where the narratives come in, the different things that you buy into, and the thoughts and emotions that you entertain, you know. So I am realizing as I go deeper into this world of detoxing people, because I have 13 case studies going on now, detoxing people from the graphene oxide, because everybody, you can run a bioscan, and there's also intuitively everybody feels that I've talked to feels like they are affected by shedding. I wonder if I should shut the YouTube one off. You guys, will you follow me over to Rumble so I can shut the YouTube one off? Because I'm just going to start talking about. It's very difficult to talk in code when I still haven't fully digested this piece. So I'm going to see if I can end that part and go over to Rumble, okay? Okay, we're still live. All right, we're on Rumble. All right, I want to speak freely. So there's an interdimensional component to the COVID thing. And I decided that I really needed a way to validate the whole shedding thing. And it turns out shedding is a lot more than graphene oxide. It's something else called hydrogel. There's something called COVID crystals, and there's something called graphene oxide crystals. And I didn't realize any of this. I learned this in the blood analysis while I was here. And with the Rife technology and the development of the detoxing process, I needed a way to validate that it's actually working other than just muscle testing and using intuition. So I come to this class. And of course, the guy that is teaching this class, he's been doing a live blood analysis for, was it 30 years? He said 30 years. And it's only since after the COVID thing did he start seeing all these different anomalies, right? So we take one person's blood. We find, I think we found a graphene crystal and hydrogel, that's right, in the first person. And she was not jabbed. Actually, no one in our group is jabbed. No one in the house is jabbed. And then we take another person's blood, and they have again COVID crystals and hydrogel, I believe.
Different shapes.
And what's interesting is that it's in different shapes and different people. Remember, this connects to consciousness in my theory, right? So just remember that part. So some people, it's like all these jagged different geometries, and other people, it's like a really kind of like a long line. And then there's these long striations that we haven't quite figured out what those are. Those are kind of like, I suspected maybe there are the crystals coming together, because I think there is a doctor named Anna Maria, I don't remember her last name, talking about those crystals coming together and creating these long clots. Nanobots. Anyway, so I think we've all had our blood drawn and looked at now. Did yours have hydrogel too? Okay. So everybody who has not had any kind of jab and is rather conscious, everybody has it. Everybody in our group has it. And I tested my blood, and I was really, because I did that detox protocol. And I was like, oh, wow, look, I don't have any. And then wouldn't you know it, right at the end, in the far corner, I have a great big hydrogel bubble. Now, some people had the little geometries, little bubbles, or the lines, and then mine was a great big bubble. So the question was, why are they so different in each person? And I'm feeling like it has to do with the quality of consciousness that they live inside themselves. So I'm not talking about how you act on the outside. I'm talking about how you be on the inside. You know, that's what I mean when I'm talking about consciousness. So, you know, you can be a really nice person and really want to help people and be of service and all this stuff. But if you have dialogue inside of yourself, thoughts, feelings, you know, emotions, because feelings, emotions are different, you know, that I believe, my theory is, has an influence on how this hydrogel and graphene oxide COVID crystals develop and stay in your system. Now, this theory is in its infancy, and of course, I'm going to figure out a way to show that, but that's what I'm feeling so far, because we had one lady come in that was not in our group. Did she say she was jabbed? No, okay. No, but she, dear Starshine, had a really intense sensitivity to EMFs, and she had something that anomaly that none of us saw yet. Not even the teacher of our class that's been doing this for 30 years and has been tracking all the different things going on since the COVID stuff. So there is a suspicion that there is a connection with EMF exposure to how these forms in addition to consciousness. I noticed that in my blood, I did not have much EMF damage. Yours had moderate, not much. Yours wasn't much either. Okay, and we all have EMF mitigators on our phones. You know, we all do things where we're aware of EMF on some level. We had one dear Starshine that had a lot, but she was traveling a lot, so we don't really know what that is. So, but it's kind of scary because our teacher is saying that nobody knows what these things are, and very few people are actually doing research and experiments to find out the details of what impacts, what does what, you know? So I think this is why I'm really being inspired to perfect a graphene oxide protocol, which I think is going to expand into hydrogel and the COVID crystals now that I know that those actually exist. I'm feeling like there's a very strong consciousness component, like I said. So the things that we're doing in Light Body Essentials about, you know, the different techniques that we're teaching about building a strong energy field, bringing your focus to, you know, sharpening your focused awareness to your internal rhythms, these kinds of things, these are all part of it. Our dear Starshine that came in that had a lot of EMF sensitivity, there was a kind of a consensus. I don't know if we asked you about it, but there was a consensus that there was a bit of a shrinking in kind of mentality. I don't want to say fully victim, because I mean she's active, but you know, like a shrinking kind of a coiling back mentality when it came to the facing the technology and how it impacts her. Because I remember asking a couple times if she had any kind of practice to strengthen her energy field, and there was no answer, so I'm assuming that's a no. I feel like the people that have the really strong warrior spirit inside of themselves, their things may be different for them. I know that when I realized that I lived really close to a 5G tower, when a dear Starshine that I work with, she's an interdimensional, and she's like, Christina, that doesn't have to affect you. Because I was kind of like going down this rabbit hole of like, oh my God, the tower's right there. They built it. I can see it. It's so close. And she's just like, get over it. Make sure your energy feels strong and you'll be fine. Right. That was her response to me. And I'm like, it's kind of miffed she wasn't empathetic in any way, shape, or form to my lamenting. But I think it's true. I mean, there's things that we can do. We're infinite beings in a biosuit. So I'm talking about the quality of our consciousness and how we move forward in the face of these things is the game changer. This is us reclaiming our consciousness, the consciousness grids, our reality. This is what dreaming the world into being is all about. So all these narratives that get put out there and you feel powerless in the face of all these narratives, it's like, then put that narrative down and focus on what you want to create. Focus on what you're inspired to do. You know what I mean? So, you know, all these star seeds that are awake to these things, it's like that idea that we're powerless, that idea that, you know, we're in a prism or prison, however you want to understand that, you know, that's just a thought form. That's just an idea. It's not the truth unless you agree to it. You can agree to it with silently, or you can agree to it, you know, out loud, or even in ceremony and consciousness. You could, there's so many different ways, but if you, it takes more than just saying, I do not comply, right? It takes more than just saying, I refuse. I don't consent. It takes more than that. It takes your actions. It takes your, you know, it takes your will to live in a way that is
authentic,
right? So people say out loud, I do not consent. I do not approve. I do not do this and da, 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 da. That's great. But that's just words if you're not actually living in that vein, right? So these narratives come in. They have an energetic momentum to them. Maybe it's mental, maybe it's emotional, physical, whatever. Maybe it's all of the above. It doesn't mean that you have to live by that. It's a matter of seeing it, recognizing it, and say, oh yeah, they're having fun with that. And then moving on with your purpose, with your direction, with your focus, because your attention is powerful. Your focus is what you're in charge of, right? So, I mean, I'm exposed to, you can imagine, all of these different narratives. And I do. I listen to them and I find myself reacting to some. But at the same time, at the end of the day, am I changing my focus on what I'm going to do when I wake up in the morning? No. Well, actually, not completely true. I will do a little bit more to build a strong energy field, you know, if I feel like I'm being impacted, right? But there is a way that where this becomes a natural thing. There's people, and actually, Dear Starshine, that has a lot of practices, right? I think we talked about this. You have a lot of practices, and they're nourishing. And I imagine they evolve and change over time as you go, right? And there is a point in time, and this is something a teacher told me a long time ago, there is a point in time when has it done its job? When has it done its job? And I'm just like, my answer is never, because I'm always going to be in need of this. And that, this according to this teacher anyway, that is not true. When you don't feel right in the world without doing the practice, then you're letting it become a crutch, not actually letting it transform you on a permanent level. So that gave me some thought, because that was just like, huh, I don't know how I sit with that, because it was in the context of, I was super tweaked. It started off with triggered, turned to tweaked, and I just could not get myself right. So I do my breathing exercises, I do my meditation, and I feel so good and calm afterwards. So then I ask her, you know, it's like, yeah, you know, I was super tweaked, because she asked me how I was doing. I'm like, well, I was super tweaked. And then I meditated and did my breathing exercise. I feel great now. And she's just like, I'm like, what do you mean? This is a good thing. I feel better now. And she's like, you didn't have the experience all the way. You didn't get to where it was taking you. I'm like, oh, man. So, of course, I have to go back and have the experience this time again and let it take me to where it needs to take me. And of course, the ego driver fights that tooth and nail, because we don't want to be uncomfortable. We don't want to feel our misery. We don't want to feel our powerlessness. You know, like, I can talk about me anyway. I don't want to feel all these things. So my trigger turned into being tweaked. And instead of letting that take me to the cracking of my ego driver that it was meant to take me to, I did a nice breathing meditation to get myself back in center so I can function in the world. So what I gain from that whole thing is that it's a dance. You know, we have to exist in this world. We can't walk around tweaked. I can't walk around tweaked. I mean, I was running business at the time. I had kids, you know, that I was taking here and there, you know what I mean? So it was kind of like, I can't function tweaked. So it's a matter of making sure that I give the time and space I need to face the things I need to and balance that out with how I show up in my life, right? So bringing this full circle, these narratives that are triggering us, that sometimes tweak us, it's not about pushing them away. It's about letting them take you to the place that needs to take you until you break. I know it's an unpopular thing to say, until you, the break, the cracking happens, and then you bring yourself back. Okay. And the benefit of that is that you don't need to work so hard keeping yourself centered, keeping yourself strong. It's like that all those energy practices that we do become a natural state of being. It's not something that you have to do all the time. I remember when I first got into energy medicine, I'd never want to see a client unless I did my breathing exercise, unless I had a clean energy field, unless I was sure I did A, B, C, D, right? And that was me and my unworthiness program as I am. So these pieces accumulate. I hope this is making sense the way I'm saying it. These pieces accumulate. And we're here for what we're here for, and we don't really know unless we're showing up for it, right? So we show up, we don't know who we are, we have an experience, we let the experience take us to the deepest place of usually pain that it takes us to. It's not all about suffering. It's just that we have so many nesting dolls of interference. In order to get to the liberated part of us, we have to experience the crap that's in the way. It's just like when we have a heart opening. When we get struck by a spiritual lightning socket, our life falls apart. We have to let all the stuff that isn't the truth fall away, and then we can have our liberation. But it's painful going through all the parts that have to fall away. You know, I keep going through the cycle over and over again. And every time I go through the cycle, I think, God, thank God that's done. I'm so glad that's done. I feel so much better. Wait a few months or a few years and something else comes up, right? Because it's not, reality is not what we think it is. It's about dreaming the world into being and reclaiming that for me, right? Reclaiming this reality for what is our purpose, not the purpose that's given to us. And we can't find that out because there's so many nesting dolls of interference. We have to go through it. We can't just have the realization and now we have it. It's like we go through it. We go through all these layers, all these inceptions, lies, whatever. And each time we're recovering some part of truth of ourselves until we wake up and this reality truly is as malleable as it is in our dream time. And this is what the different masters that have come into my world have been reinforcing over and over and over again. It's like, yeah, healing's great, but are you walking in the infinite? Well, first you have to figure out what that even means, right? Or I had to figure out what that even means. So it's like, they could care less if I healed. What they wanted me to do was step outside of what I think reality is and embrace the fact that I am dreaming all this into being every moment of every day. So, great story I think this was Michio Kuchi. If you guys don't know, Michio Kuchi is the Japanese man that was the founder of the Kuchi Institutes here in the United States, who's kind of known as the godfather of macrobiotics. This is a story told me by Bob Carr, who was a macrobiotic chef that I worked with for several years. I had this podcast a while ago, or no, it wasn't a podcast. What was it? Well, anyway, it was kind of like a podcast. It was called The Wave Project many, many years ago. This is like, I don't know, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, something like that. So I'm still living in Cleveland, Ohio, and I'm interviewing Bob Carr, and he tells me the story that Michio Kuchi tells him. And that was in the 80s when he brought macrobiotics. It was like early 70s, late 70s, early 80s. He was in the process of bringing macrobiotics to the West. And it's known as a healing modality. It's more than just a diet. It's like a philosophy. And he's living in Boston at the time. That's where the first Kuchi Institute was founded. And there was a tribe in the Amazon jungle And the medicine man of that tribe gets visited by these beings that landed in a light ship. So they're in the jungle. This light ship comes down. These, what we would maybe perceive or call extraterrestrials, walk out. They talk with their medicine man. They say, hey, there's this guy. I know a crazy story. There's this guy named Michio Kushi living in Boston in the United States that we need you to get a message to. And I mean, why didn't these aliens go to, you know, someone else, right? But they went to this medicine man in the jungle and told him, you need to get him this message. And the message was, you know, you're on the right track. Keep doing what you're doing. And I think there was some other piece in there that I don't remember. So they tell this medicine man in the jungle the message. They go back into their light ship and they take off. So this medicine man, without any documentation, without any knowledge of the outside world, because they're not in contact with society, humans in society, right? Says yes to the mission, and he ends up on the doorstep of Michio Kushi, knocks on the door. I mean, doesn't speak, well, we in our minds, doesn't speak the language, but he does. And he conveys the message to Michio Kushi, and then he walks away, and that's it. Now, why did those guys visit the medicine man in the jungle? Why not another Japanese relative or someone who could accept the idea of ETs? Why this medicine man in the jungle? And it's because he is not domesticated. He is a full-on dreamer of this reality into being. He didn't need to pass through border guards. He didn't need to get on a plane. He didn't need to have money. He didn't need any of these things that we think we need to have the reality we want. He just simply dreams of the doorway forward, steps through it, knocks on the door, conveys this message because he can speak every language, every form of communication there is. I've met another medicine man that can do that. And then he goes back home. Easy peasy for the undomesticated human, the one that hasn't been introduced to all these nesting dolls of distortions of who they are as infinite beings in a biosuit. He's fully immersed in the dream of the mother, the jungle. There are other beings that can do this. Don Manuel was also known to talk to people in their native tongue. So he was Quechua, spoke Spanish in Quechua, but people would come to his home and he would speak what seemed like perfect English to them or perfect German to them or perfect French to them. And it's because he was not in that domesticated state. The limits in the brain weren't there. He simply had a message to communicate and he communicated it. No language barriers. And if you guys, those of you who are interacting with Sasquatch, know the Sasquatch do that exact same thing. We call it mind speak, right? So I'm wanting to expand your guys' idea that, you know, these narratives, these charges, these grid works of consciousness that we're engaged with, they're all optional. We're not missing out on anything by not engaging in them. There is a way to live where we step into that true reality that we are dreaming this world into being, right? We can dream anything we want into being. This is meant, my teachers that convey this to me anyway, this is meant to be a magical wonderland. The elementals and reinforce this over and over again. Every time we go somewhere that they're present, it's a miracle. And we're overwhelmed in tears and emotions when we see what a miracle life is. Oh, I'm visiting there now. Sorry, emotion. And how magic is the true currency of this reality. That's really our power here, is to bring magic forward. So, yeah, you guys let me know. Let me know how this is landing. Is it making sense? Mm-hmm. Okay, yep. Cool.
Miracle magnet.
Miracle magnet. Oh, yeah, that's someone's handle, isn't it? So the Dear Starshine, who's already tuned into this, calls herself the Miracle Magnet. Is that an Instagram handle or another one?
WhatsApp.
Oh, it's a WhatsApp handle. Okay. So, it's coming full circle with this whole thing. So the reason I wanted to, you guys, do your best to check yourself when you're going to this narrative about not having a choice about something or feeling like you're in a prism reality or prison reality, okay? Just check yourself and understand that you're having that experience to take you somewhere inside that you don't know exists. Let it take you there the best that you can, and then you can be done with it and move on to really what you truly want to focus on, okay? And there's always those moments where you're done with something and there's an invitation from the universe. Are you sure what you're done with that? So recognize that moment too, okay? And I'm super excited about this shedding thing, you know? And I know it's like, why should I be so excited that all these people are becoming contaminated with this stuff? I am excited because I feel like this is that a bar is being set that's really putting the pressure, I don't want to say forcing, but putting the pressure on us to walk our walk, walk our talk, you know, like about, there's so many people that claim to be spiritual or they know this, they know that, but they're not actually being that, you know? So it's like this whole Lukaracha dance, Jebijab dance is kind of like, you know, there's no faking it till you make it with this. It's like you are at the consciousness where you're resolving the issue or you're not, right? We're all in the process of. So, and this is totally what I'm going to be coming to do in the States coming up this summer. So will I have a microscope? I don't know. I hope to have a microscope so I could do live before, live blood analysis before and after the different protocols. So I'll be coming to Ohio, Colorado, Washington, and I think a couple other places where I can come in and offer these treatments. The most important part that I didn't even mention. Oh my gosh. Oh, how much time do I have? Okay. Yeah. So what I discovered with the Rife treatments anyway, is that people's cells get full of the frequencies. So it was only a couple days of running the graphene oxide detox in combination with some other frequencies that their cells become full. And once your cells become full, you don't need those frequencies anymore. So I have to go back and do the follow-up to redo the frequency to see if it's at 100% still. It's going to be a week in between. But what this is telling me is that it's possible to inform your cells with these frequencies, and your cells, I guess on some level, find it relevant and they hold on to the information for the future. Kind of like how our immune system records viruses and bacteria. Right. And then it knows how to fight it. So it's like the whole idea about why inoculations work. Right. You give the body the information of a particular disease, a virus or whatever. And then in the future, it knows it already and it knows how to fight it. So I am suspecting this might be so with the graphene oxide, that particular detox, is that your cells will take in the information, inform the whole rest of your system, and it's going to hold on to that information. So you don't need continuous treatment, potentially. This is also another theory.
And that's what the microscope's for.
Yeah, and that's what the microscope for is to that's what the live blood analysis for is to confirm this. Is it true or not, right? So I'm super excited. So I only need to sweep through my communities, offer these treatments until your cells are full, confirm that, and then ta-da, you're good to go. One less thing, right? So we'll see. This is all, like I said, a theory in motion. We're going to see how it unfolds. I'm excited to bring it forward. I'm excited to do live blood analysis. I'm learning so much about the human body and the different systems. And, you know, just, it's really, our bodies are amazing, guys. These biosuits are absolutely astonishing. What do you say was 10 billion blood cells we make every day?
Mm-hmm.
10 billion blood cells. I mean, that's a number that can't even be imagined. That's just blood cells. That's not even including all the white blood cells and, you know, all the different, what are those other guys called?
All the lymphocytes and monocytes.
Yeah, the lymphocytes and monocytes, those are all, I guess, technically white blood cells. But these biosuits are absolutely extraordinary. And, you know, to live a life that's about, you know, getting things and having status and having, you know, paying bills and taxes and all this other stuff, it's such bullshit. We're miracles. We're walking around miracles, and we're hyperdimensional on top of that. And this is why that consciousness piece is so strong for me. We're hyperdimensional beings. There's aspects of us that are in existence in other realms, dimensions, just sitting right here, right now, you know? So once we really let that set in and we live like we are existing on all those planes at one time, then, you know, now we're cooking with grease. We're cooking with, you know, this is a life worth getting up out of bed for, super excited to see what's going to happen next, right? That's how I feel about it anyway. You guys let me know. Let me know how this is. Mm-hmm. Here, let me go through my notes to see if there's anything that I needed to say that I'm not putting my finger on. Oh my gosh, I totally forgot about that part. Okay. I'm coming back to this. This one is all over the place. Sorry, guys. Going back to the eclipse. You know, I think the reason why it's getting so dramatized these days is because certain ecliptic moments have been used to insert seeds that hijack consciousness. There have been times when eclipses were aligned with galactic and intergalactic alignments. And during those rare moments, there were energies pulled into this reality on a ceremonial context, and phantom realms getting inserted into this reality. Our dear sister Starshine, Barbara Hanclow, actually has this very fascinating series of books that she wrote, where she was sharing the stories from, I think, 100 past life regressions. And I remember reading one of her past lives, and it totally activated me. It's like I could see the whole field of the. She didn't talk about the cosmic reality. I was seeing all that come to play just reading the story. And it was a lifetime as she was in a mystery school as a priestess, and they're all kept as like vestal virgins, right? And they were used for ceremony, and there was specific ceremony during an eclipse. She didn't know it was an eclipse until being in the ceremony. And that is where the Sun, Moon, Venus, Saturn, and the Alcyone, the Pleiades, and then there was another alignment beyond that where there was a massive eclipse on a galactic scale. And in the moment of that eclipse, the priests were, it was in ceremony, and she thought she was being initiated as a priestess, but instead they were all, trigger warning, they were all raping her, as you know, taking her virginity. And this was the beginning. She didn't say this. This is my inferring. This was the beginning of the patriarchal hijack of the sacred feminine womb space. Okay. So eclipses are used to incept things, but the alignments are not right now. So they need to incept things through artificial means. And that's why people are up in arms about the CERN activity going on right now, starting on the 8th. And that is why people are upset about the rockets going off. And I don't remember what they said the rockets are supposed to hit. What do you guys know?
They just got really satanic names.
Okay. Oh yeah. The people are upset because these rockets have names like Apophis and stuff like this. But really, these artificial means, they're being used because they don't have the actual alignment, right? They don't have the full alignment to do what they want. So everything is just a Band-Aid. You know, it's all a Band-Aid, guys. They're not prepared for the level of awareness that's alive right now in the collective. There are, many years ago, I think in 2010, I was told that, you know, 20% of the population was star seeds, and only 20% of those were actually going to wake up. Now, fast forward a decade, they're saying, my guidance is telling me 80% of the population are star seeds, and still 20% of them are going to wake up. But guys, that means millions and millions and millions of people. We don't even need that many to hold these consciousness grids in place that override these inceptions, right? So they are quite literally not prepared for the level of awakening that already exists here on this planet. They're not prepared for that. And that's why all this is going on. That's why the COVID timeline was also accelerated. And I mentioned this in class too, that originally it was supposed to happen 10 years later, but they had to fast forward the timeline because awakening was happening too quickly. So this is their attempt to hijack, right? But yeah, I mean, you can laugh about it now, right? Here you are. Here we are. So you know, it's, you know, in a lot of ways, I don't want to say the game is already won, because this is all not, this is only a nesting doll in the bigger unfoldment, right? This is all stuff that we've agreed to and we were excited to, you know, to participate in, but the awakening has already happened is what I want to say. So now it's just about how it integrates, how quickly it might integrate into the full collective and influence our society and our schooling and all the different systems that we have. A lot of starseeds are working at dismantling the Saturn systems, and that's government, education, politics, medicine. What was the other one? Okay. There's our food systems. You know, those are all governed by the Saturn frequencies. So all of these, we'll say 4D systems, they're all falling apart. You know, they're all falling apart, and there's nothing anybody can do about it. Because why? Because we all want to live. We all want good food. We all want good water. We all want to be healthy, right? And there are too many of us. There's too many of us to fully take over. There's always going to be this consciousness now. And you can kill us all off. It doesn't matter. It's a collective field now that's intact and anchored. So it doesn't matter. Can't kill them all. Can't kill us all. Though, you know, there might be a desire to, or people might try, but it's not going to happen. Because they're not the ones that are truly in charge. The illusion delusion is that they're in charge, but they are only in charge of this inner nesting doll. We are out here in our nesting dolls and our dream realities, right? And we're pulling all these frequencies forward. Our hearts are speaking. Our spirits are speaking. Our soul agendas override all of these other shenanigans. So as long as we stay focused on what we want, you know what I mean? And we are aware about how we silently agree to things by not using our will, by making certain choices, you know, we understand how that game works. We can choose differently and we can stay true to ourselves. Stay true to yourself always, always, always. Even when it's unpopular, you know, I end up just claiming the fact that, you know, don't mind me, I'm crazy. And yeah, don't mind me, I'm a bit of an idiot. That gives me permission to just be how I'm going to be. You know what I mean? Because, you know, I can't follow along even if I wanted to. I can't. So I just, you know, make little pockets of exceptions for myself so I can, so it can be okay. So you guys figure out whatever your formula is, whatever it is you need to do to make it okay for you to do you, to feel how you feel and to live the reality and speak the reality that you live in. Because I guarantee you there's going to be someone like you and me finding each other, you know, and then it's great, because now we are, you know, we're not alone. And then we can have our inside jokes. We can, you know, hold this dance together in a way that's so much more fun. So in that vein, community is a huge piece for us. And you guys know this community is a wonderful free community for you to connect with others. I want to also encourage you to check out, you know, the Light Body Academy, because we're meeting in person more and more every year. And it is so much fun to get together with like-minded folks that play in the realms that we play in, that see in the way that we see. If it's, you know, ancestor stuff, I think our module 2 is coming up, and we're going to be playing with the keepers, the different keepers of the different realities of the different nesting dolls. So that's going to be fun. We're going to do that in a hyperdimensional place, of course. So you guys check that out. If you want to grow your family of like mind and, you know, grow the community that you flourish in and can really get the support you need in. Okay. All right. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. I went just a few minutes over. Sorry, guys. Lots of love to you all. Remember, check out our website, lightbodyacademy.com, and definitely like this video, please, if you got anything valuable out of it, and share it, because like I said, we're shadow banned, and this is the only way we get out to other people is by you sharing it. So thank you. Thank you. We'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.